light of guidance, the light of guidance. The light of guidance, the light of guidance. The light of guidance, the light of guidance.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله The Prophet of mankind, the peace of our hearts and mind, the most generous and kind, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is reported to have said, the one who recites durood, salutations, salawat, salam, 1,000 times upon me will not die until he sees his place in Jannah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, salatu wa salaman alayka. Ya Sayyidi, ya Habibi, ya Rasulallah. Marhaba, 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 khushamdeed. Welcome one and all to another episode in this series of the light of guidance, mashallah. The day was the 18th of Zulhijjah, and this day, actually, it's a very significant and important day in the history of Islam, because it marks the Urs and the Yawm-e Shahadat of one of the greatest personalities to walk on the surface of this earth, that personality who had the honor, and such an honor which was not given to anyone or not granted to anyone, that is that he was blessed by being the son-in-law of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of a Prophet alayhi salam, twice. And this is the son-in-law of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And alhamdulillah, two of the beloved daughters of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were in his nikah. You know, a personality who inshallah we will discuss today. And I feel it is incumbent in today's time to mention this great personality and speak about him. Because unfortunately we do have, it's a time of fitna, a time of fasad, where, you know, people are insulting the Sahaba-i-Kiram. People are targeting and criticizing these blessed companions, radiallahu ta'ala, anhum ajma'in. So it is necessary upon us to mention their fadail, to safeguard and defend their honor, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised them in the Quran, the beloved Rasul has praised them in the blessed ahadith and mubarakah. It's also necessary upon us to play our role, basically, and try our level best to defend their honor, and particularly the Khulafa'i Rashideen, you know, where people are targeting them and insulting them and, you know, using those terms, terminologies, those words for them which are not suitable to their zaat and befitting their dignity. And obviously, you know, going to the extent of ma'adallah calling these blessed personalities as hypocrites or disbelievers or those kind of absurd things. So alhamdulillah, the more people are trying to oppose them, the more we will mention the greatness of these personalities. And alhamdulillah, this is something which Qibla Amir al-Sunnat has taught us, that, you know, where people were insulting the Sahaba-i-Kiram, then he stood up and said that Har Sahabi-e Nabi, Jannati Jannati. And he put the slogan and this nara in the heart of even the youngsters to drill it in their hearts, that on the matter of the Sahaba-i-Kiram, the Ahl-e Bayt Athar, and on these matters of Islam, there is no compromise, there is no second opinion, there is no ifs or buts or whys or whens. No. When it comes to them, then we must just listen and say that yes, they are great people, they are wonderful personalities. So inshallah, today our focal point of discussion will be evolving around the blessed life or the blessed traits of Sayyidina Usman bin Affan, Usman Ghani, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, inshallah. We'll quickly take a short break to listen to a wonderful kalam, inshallah, and then as soon as we return, we will proceed with today's discussion. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
It is narrated from Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Whosoever recites salat upon me once, Allah Almighty bestows 10 mercies upon him."
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu على محمد صلى الله على محمد صلى الله على محمد
آنکھوں کا تارا نام محمد
محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد آنکھوں کا تارا نام محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد
صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علی محمد.
The most beloved to me is the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Light of my dark heart is the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
Poochega Maula laya hai kya kya, Poochega Maula laya hai kya kya, main ye kahunga نام محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد
صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علی محمد.
When Allah will ask, what have you brought? I will then say, the name of Muhammad صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم.
دولت جو چاہو دونوں جہاں کی, دولت جو چاہو دونوں جہاں کی, کر لو وظیفہ نام محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد
صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علی محمد.
If you desire the wealth of both worlds, keep mentioning the name of Muhammad صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم.
رکھو لحد میں جس دم عزیزوں, رکھو لحد میں جس دم عزیزوں, مجھ کو سنانا نام محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد
صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علی محمد.
O my dear ones, when you lay me to rest in my grave, do remember to mention the name of Muhammad صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم.
اپنے رضا کے قربان جاؤں, مرشد پیا کے قربان جاؤں, جس نے سکھایا نام محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد
صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علی محمد.
May I sacrifice my life for Raza, who taught the name of Muhammad صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم.
صلی اللہ حبیب صلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالیٰ علیہ وسلم. ماشاء اللہ ماشاء اللہ مرحبا. Wonderful کلام ریسائٹڈ بائی آور رضوان اتاری بھائی, مے اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ انلائٹن ہز وائس اینڈ گرانٹ ہم مینی مور ڈیز اینڈ ایئرز انشاء اللہ ٹو کیپ آن پریزنگ دی beloved and most noble Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, during the break, we were joined by our wonderful guest, Mulana Asim Madani Sahib, who is a very familiar face on Madani Channel. Mulana Sahib, we welcome you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Mulana Sahib?
Alhamdulillah, ila kulli hal.
MashaAllah. MashaAllah, Mulana Sahib is looking very fit nowadays. Mulana Sahib is going through a special diet, and he is taking care of his health, alhamdulillah. This is something which we all should do, including myself. We should take care of our health, and health is very important. You know, jaan hai to jahan hai. And obviously, eating lots of unnecessary things and drinking lots of unnecessary things, drinking junk, eating junk, and not taking care of your body, then you end up with 100 diseases and obesity and diabetes and cholesterol and so many things. And at the end, if you have to ever look at it, then it's yourself who you have to blame because of what you are putting inside your body. So alhamdulillah, it's very important to take care of yourself. If you are young, even if you are old, you know, try these things. Obviously have a professional in front of you who you can take some supervision from. But with the professional, then whether you have to go to the gym or you have to exercise, to control you and remain healthy, it's very important. And Islam does not discourage this. Islam encourages this. I mean, look at the blessed life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Sahaba Ikram. They were fit people. They were people who were always active. They were people ready to move around. I mean, look at the way they moved, the way they rode the horses, the way they went to battle, the way they you know, did archery and swimming and all those kinds. It's all fit things. So alhamdulillah, the beloved Rasulullah is fit. The Sahaba Ikram are fit. His blessed companions are fit. So we should also follow that lifestyle. And with that, there's many other blessings. You know, inshallah, if you get a chance, one of the days we'll have a separate discussion on this with our Munasab, inshallah. But he will tell you, and many other people will also tell you, that you know, life changes totally. And you start becoming a person with more confidence. And there's many things you can do when you are fit, which you cannot do when, unfortunately, you are fat and unhealthy, I would say, in those words. So inshallah, it's just an extra point for our viewers. We hope that all of you act upon it, inshallah, including myself once again. Munasab, alhamdulillah, today we are discussing this great Sahabi, Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. If you can maybe elaborate on more of his distinctive qualities, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya wal Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The great companion of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, حضرت أبو ذر غفاري رضي الله تعالى عنه, says that I always speak well about حضرت عثمان غني رضي الله تعالى عنه. Whenever I talk about him, so I mention him with praise. And then he mentions the reason. He says that he has a unique quality, unique rank, unique attribute, which I have witnessed with my own eyes. He says that I always used to look for the opportunities to be in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he's sitting alone. So that I can learn more knowledge of deen. He says that one day I found Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sitting alone. And I grabbed this opportunity, went and sat in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A short while passed, then the first Khalifa of Islam, Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu came. He greeted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with salam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered his salam, responded to his salam. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asked him, O Abu Bakr, what has brought you here at this time? Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the love of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has brought me here.
Subhanallah.
Then Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu sat down in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then after a short while, another personality came. And that personality was the second Khalifa of Islam, Sayyiduna Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu.
Subhanallah.
The Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam asked the same question from Hazrat Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that Umar, what has brought you here at this moment? So he also gave the same answer, that the love of Allah and the love of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After some time, another personality came. And that personality was the third caliph of Islam, the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Zunnurain.
Subhanallah.
Hazrat Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu.
Ji.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him the same question, that what has brought you here? Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu also gave the same answer, that the love of Allah and the love of the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. Then he sat down, and then Hazrat Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that Rasul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had 7 pebbles in his hand. He placed all those 7 pebbles on his palm, and as soon as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed them on his blessed palm, they started glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
They started praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed them on the ground and they became silent. After that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed those pebbles on the hand of the first Khalifa of Islam, Afdalul Bashar Ba'dal Anbiya, Sayyiduna Amirul Mumineen Sayyiduna Siddiq Akbar radiyallahu ta'ala.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
As soon as he placed those pebbles on the hand of Hazrat Siddiq Akbar radiyallahu ta'ala, they started glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again. And then he placed them on the ground after that. As soon as he placed them on the ground, they stopped glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he picked them up again and placed them on the hand of the second Khalifa of Islam, Amirul Mumineen Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. The pebbles started glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again. And when the pebbles were placed on the ground, they became silent. Now, for the third time, the pebbles were placed on the hand of Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And again, they started praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when they were placed on the ground, they became silent. And then he says that after these great personalities, there were a few other people as well present there. The pebbles were placed on their hands as well, but they did not glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says that since that day, since I witnessed his great status, not only his status, obviously the great status of the other Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. Amirul Mumineen Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq and Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu as well. So he says that since I witnessed this great quality and attribute of Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, I always praise him and I always speak well of him. This hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us many things. Number one, Hazrat Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that after this entire incident, what happened? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed his companions and said, "Hadihi khilafatun nubuwwah." This is the khilafa of prophethood. Right. Meaning this is the order of khilafa.
Right.
Meaning this hadith-e-paak teaches us the order of the khilafa as well, that who will become the first khalifa after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who will become the second khalifa after Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and who will become the third khalifa after Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And obviously, according to the same order and sequence, the khilafat occurred. First khalifa was Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, the second was Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam, third was Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and obviously, the fourth khalifa was Amirul Mumineen Hazrat Ali Mola Mushkil Kusha Sayyidina Ali Sher Khuda Karram Allahu Ta'ala Wajhul Kareem. There is another indication in this hadith pak. The pebbles recited the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hands, first of all, you know, they were in the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So ulama ikram have mentioned a very beautiful point here, that the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam revived people spiritually, the way he reformed the society, the way he rectified people, the way he strengthened the iman of his sahaba ikram ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain, the way he entered faith into the hearts of people, just as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did this, in the same manner as being the deputies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as being the successor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this spiritual influence was going to be in the hand of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then after Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it would be in the hands of Hazrat Umar Farooq Azam, then in the hands of Sayyidina Usman Ghani. Also, you know, very necessary to explain this as well here, that no one should misunderstand that why the mention of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu is not there in this incident. Obviously, it is understood that he was not present there at this particular occasion. Otherwise, if he was there, so definitely the pebbles were going to recite tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his hands as well. Obviously, all these great sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially these khulafa-i rashidin, and especially these, you know, four sahabi or companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they have a special rank, special, you know, characteristics and special maqam in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam.
Subhanallah. Jazakallahu khairan sab for that wonderful beginning. And yes, it is the aqidah and the belief of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah that the blessed companions, from those companions, the entire Jama'at, the greatest is Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, then Sayyidina Umar, then Sayyidina Usman, then Sayyidina Ali, as Mawlana Sahib has elaborated. And this is something which we need to keep on reminding ourselves and our children as well, because as I mentioned initially, that this is a fitna in today's time, where this is trying to be disorganized, or this is trying to be attacked by some so-called people and some so-called Muslims, I would say. So yes, it is a necessity upon us to defend this aqidah and this iman. And this has been basically the aqidah and the belief of everyone for the past 1400 or somewhat years. And that is our aqidah as well. Inshallah, it will carry on. So we will, inshallah, azawajal, carry on this discussion. But we'll quickly take a short break and listen to some beautiful words of wisdom. And when we return, inshallah, we will carry on the discussion. Sallu lil Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam.
Before the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam reached the age of 40 and received the first revelation, he was already famous for especially two things. One, he was given the title As-Sadiq, the truthful. And second, Al-Ameen, the trustworthy. As a young man in Makkah al-Mukarramah, he wasn't commanding armies or giving speeches. He was simply the honest, kind, reliable, trustworthy, truthful person. When he traded goods, he never cheated anybody. When he spoke, he never lied. When people fought, they came to him to settle their disputes. Even as a teenager, a youngster, it was because of this character that Sayyidah Khadija radhiallahu anha trusted him with her business. And later, she even entrusted her heart to him. So what does this teach us? That you don't need a platform to leave an impact. You don't need a mic to be a role model. Your character is your da'wah. Your honesty is your voice. During this Rabi' al-Awwal, let's revive this sunnah. Be truthful. Be trustworthy. Be honest and sincere. Whether you have a platform or you don't, whatever your situation may be, let's try to enact those qualities which Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam teaches, because this is a practical way to celebrate the Maulid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah. Welcome back to our program. Nansab, before the break, you mentioned about the four Khulafa'i Rashidin and the sequence of these Khulafa'i Rashidin. Would you like to maybe elaborate further on that?
There are countless virtues and the characteristics, the attributes of Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Ayat of the Holy Quran have been revealed in the shan of Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. There are plenty hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which mention the great status of Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But I would like to just mention his three characteristics now. And what are those three awsaf? Number one is sacrificing wealth and life in the name of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Number two, taslime umur, meaning being content with the decree, taqdeer, pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, command of will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number three is ikhlas, sincerity. Although all the great companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, all the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had these qualities, each and every sahabi, you know, was sincere. Each and every sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, was ready to sacrifice his wealth and life in the name of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Each and every sahabi was content with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the level of contentment, acceptance, and sincerity, and sacrificing life and wealth and life in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the level of these qualities of, I mean, Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu was very unique and outstanding. You know, he already knew that he is going to become shaheed. Hazrat Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was present in one of the gardens of Madinatul Munawwara and I was with him. So a person came who knocked at the door and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Iftah lahu wa bashirhu bil jannah." Open the door for him and give him the glad tidings of Jannah. Hazrat Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala says that I opened the door and then it was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala who was standing. I passed the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I gave him the glad tidings of Jannah. Then he entered and sat in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After a while, someone knocked at the door again. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again said, "Iftah lahu wa bashirhu bil Jannah." Open the door for him and give him as well the glad tidings of Jannah. It means Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the knowledge of Ghaib. He knew who is outside. And he knew what is his status.
Right.
So, Hazrat Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala says that I opened the door and it was, when I opened, so I saw that it was Hazrat Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala. I gave him the glad tidings of Jannah. He praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He paid shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this great news. And then he entered and sat in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After a short while, someone knocked at the door of that garden again. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Iftah lahu wa bashirhu bil jannati ala balwa tusibuhu." Open the door for him. Give him the glad tidings of Jannah after a trial which he will face, which will reach him. Hazrat Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala who says that I opened the door. It was Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala who I gave him the glad tidings of Jannah. And I told him about the trial which he was going to face. Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala who first praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that great news of Jannah. And then after that, he said, "Allahul Musta'an. If a trial will come, if a calamity will come, if a difficulty will come, then Allahul Musta'an. Allah is my helper. Allah will help me. I will succeed in that test and that trial."
Subhanallah.
So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed him in his life that you will face a trial. And that trial was obviously shahadat. And now look at the level of the contentment of Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Normally what happens that, you know, when we go through any challenge, when any calamity comes, you know, we say that I am the only person who is facing this calamity. Why this reached me? Why this happened to me? What wrong have I done that I'm going through this difficulty? People start complaining. But look at the contentment of Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was happy with the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His rida was in the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knew that he will be made shaheed, but he was happy with this will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what was the level of his happiness and his contentment? You know, when people, some rebels, hypocrites, surrounded his house.
Mm-hmm.
They were standing outside his house and they did not let him come out for 40 days. And they did not let any food enter in his house for 40 days.
Mm.
He was, you know, he used to keep fast. He was busy in the recitation of Holy Quran. Hazrat Ali, Mawla-e Kainat Sher-e Khuda, Karram Allah Ta'ala Wajhul Kareem ke. His son, Hazrat Imam Hassan Mujtaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu came. And they said, Huzur, you allow us, you give us permission, we will remove these people, we will finish them up. He said that I don't want bloodshed in Madinatul Munawwara. Even if you remove them, still I'm going to become shaheed because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given me this information in advance. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told me that I will face a trial.
Mm-hmm.
And that trial is shahada. He knew that. And he did not, you know, allow them to take any action against those people. That this was characteristic of Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala who resembles the characteristic of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was also, he has been thrown into the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came and asked him that, do you need any help? He said, yes, but not from you.
Mm-hmm.
Then as the Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said that, ask from the one who will help you. Oh, whom you need from. So, who you need from. So, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said, he knows my condition. I don't need to ask him. Same thing happened to Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala. He also went through a trial.
Mm.
It was very difficult for him. You know, people were planning to, ma'azallah, make him shaheed, kill him. Hazrat Ali Sher-e Khuda, Karram Allah Ta'ala Wajhul Kareem, came and said, phew, he came for, you know, for helping him. Hazrat Hasan Mujtaba radiallahu ta'ala who came and he said that we will help and we will remove these people, finish them up. But he said, no, I don't want bloodshed. I shed in Madinatul Munawwara. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, therefore, you know, he says that, inna nushabbihu Uthmana bi Abina Ibrahim.
Subhanallah.
My Usman resembles my father, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Allahu Akbar. This was the contentment. And this was the, you know, pleasure, I mean, happiness of Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala with the decree, taqdeer.
So,
hum log taqdeer par razi nahi hote. You know, this is actually very wrong. And we need to learn this from the life of Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala. So, one was that he always used to be pleased with the taqdeer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second was that he always used to be ready to sacrifice his wealth and life in the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have given you the example that how he sacrificed his life,
mm-hmm.
but he did not allow bloodshed in Madinatul Munawwara.
Subhanallah.
And he's that personality who sacrificed his wealth in the feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not one time, many times. He was the one who purchased the land, you know, next to Masjid-e-Nabvi Sharif,
right,
in order to extend Masjid-e-Nabvi Sharif. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I want to extend it. Who was the one? Who was that personality who went and purchased it? And gifted it to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
The well in Medina as well.
Bi'r-e-Ruma. He was the one who purchased and gifted it to the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People were suffering, you know, from water actually. So he bought that well and gifted it to them, gifted to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the occasion of Tabuk. Allahu Akbar.
Mm-hmm.
How he helped Islam, how he, you know, helped Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he said labbaik on the request of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, on the journey, during the journey, he gave, you know, he gave lot for the help of the battle as well. But before that, on their journey, when Sahaba Ikram were thirsty, hungry, they didn't have anything to eat and drink. and they were very worried and stressed. At that time, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke to his companions and said that before the sun will set, your sustenance will reach, your rizq will come. Mm-hmm. When Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu heard this, he went and purchased 7 loaded camels. With, you know, they were loaded with all the provision. And they gifted it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Sahaba Ikram became happy. He gifted those camels to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba Ikram became happy. And now, try to understand the point which I'm going to say. Narrators say, it is written in books, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised his hands in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he raised so much, you know, so much in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what did he say? Mm-hmm. Ya Allah, I am pleased with Usman. You also become pleased with Usman. And Hazrat Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that, on that day, entire night, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued, kept on making dua for Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Ya Allah, I am pleased with him. You may also be pleased with Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
And ulama ikram have mentioned a very beautiful point here. They say, on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather all the people and he will say to his beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kullu ahadin yatlubu ridaya wa ana atlubu ridaka. Everyone wants my pleasure and I want your pleasure. Oh my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, khuda ki rida chahte hain do alam, aur khuda chahta hai rizai Muhammad. And Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi says, bahum ahad bandhe hain wasle abad ka, rizai khuda aur rizai Muhammad. Meaning, the rida of Allah and rida of Muhammad have, you know, made a promise with each other that we will remain together, we will live together. You know, whoever wants the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have to please his Nabi. And whoever will please his Nabi will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the pleasure of the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a great thing. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, I am pleased with Usman. Ya Allah, you may also become
subhanallah,
pleased. Subhanallah. So there are, you know, countless characteristics, attributes, qualities, excellences, ranks of Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. May Allah Azza wa Jal elevate his rank, shower his special mercy upon the mazar of Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala
anhu,
and forgive us without accountability for his sake.
Ameen. Jazakallahu Allah Sahib for those beautiful words of wisdom. And undoubtedly, there is no way we can mention the praise and the maqam of these blessed and esteemed personalities. Alhamdulillah. And just to let you know that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not perform the Salatul Janazah of the one who had the animosity and the grudge and the hatred towards Sayyidina Usman Ghani. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the summary of which is that إِنَّهُ كَانَ يَبُغْضُ Usmana فَأَبْغَضَهُ اللَّهُ, that, you know, he had booze in his heart against my Usman. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has distanced him away from his mercy. Allah ta'ala is displeased with him. So that's the lesson for all of us, that our duty is just, you know, obedience towards these great personalities and love and affection towards them, respect and honor them at all times, and remain with this aqidah. This is the teachings of Imam Ahl-Sunnat, Sayyidi Murshidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Reza Khan. This is the teaching of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. This is the teaching of all the great scholars, ulama, a'imma. And this will remain the teaching of Maslak-e-Haq, inshallah, inshallah. So inshallah, with these few words, we leave you. And please keep us in your du'as. Remember, instill the love of the beloved Rasul sallallahu in your hearts and in your mind. This love of the beloved Rasul sallallahu is the base of your iman and the base of everything. We will see you inshallah once again in our episode. Till we meet again, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
The light of guidance, 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 the light of guidance.